Hello, you're listening to Met Radio 1280 AM in Toronto. On the first weekend of March, Met Radio held our third ever 24-hour radio challenge. From March 2nd to 3rd, participants had 24 hours to produce a piece of radio inspired by this year's theme, Down the Rabbit Hole. Armed with nothing but their wits, creativity, and handheld Zoom microphones, this year's challenge producers rose to the occasion in a big way. The resulting pieces are sound-rich, funny, moving, existential, informative, weird, and wild. And after a rigorous round of judging, the results are in. We're so excited to share the top three pieces from this year's radio challenge with you here on the airwaves. So let's travel down the rabbit hole together. Starting with the third place winner, which dares to ask, how well do you really know your new girlfriend? This is Down the Rabbit Hole by Team Drumroll, Please. Mixologisms.
When I met Charlotte, I was instantly hooked. Charlotte was everything I always wanted to be. Confident, outgoing, adventurous. Our romance was a whirlwind of passion, and I couldn't believe it was finally happening to me. But something was off.
Can we get the check, please? Sorry, Abby. I can't go to the play tonight. We'll have to reschedule.
But I was looking forward to this.
It's complicated, Abby. I can't stay.
Complicated? You can't just leave me hanging like this. Was it something I did?
I can't explain. Not now. Just know that I have to go.
I'll make it up to you.
This wasn't the first time she'd bailed on me, even in the middle of a date. She had a busy work schedule, but this was too suspicious. As I watched her hurry out of the restaurant, I couldn't help myself. I couldn't lose her again. I followed her down the busy city street and trailed from a distance as she took a sharp left down a dark alley. This surely couldn't be the route she took to work. Shocked at how quickly I'd lost her, I ran down the alley only to arrive at a dead end. There's no way she could have just evaporated into thin air. I looked around, searching for anything that could explain the disappearance of my girlfriend. My eyes widened as I noticed hinges. What looked like a graffiti-covered wall was actually a door. What was this place? Nobody would accidentally find this place unless they were looking for it. I pushed open the door. It opened to a dingy staircase. I couldn't see the bottom, but I went down. I felt like it went on forever. My heart was pumping. The smell of mold and rot filled my nostrils. I was at the bottom, and in the darkness, I saw the glimmer of something metal. It was a door handle. I grabbed it and pulled. I was in a room that looked like a small hotel lobby. There was an empty desk with a bell on it, and a small sign that said, "Welcome to the Rabbit Hole." I rang the bell. And the floor dropped out from under me. Oh. What is this place? It was some sort of a bar, like an old-fashioned speakeasy. I felt as though I had just time-traveled back 100 years. As I stood up and brushed myself off, I noticed a mustached man staring at me from behind the bar.
Oh, honey, you look lost. Are you sure this is the type of place you want to be?
I'm looking for someone. A woman named Charlotte?
What's your poison? Martini? Manhattan? Bathtub gin?
Oh, I really don't. What is this place?
It's the bottom of the rabbit hole, Alice. You better grab a seat. The show is about to begin.
But I'm not here for a show.
Oh, but you are. Now sit. It will barely even hurt.
Hey, get your hands off me! People flooded in and sat all around me. The lounge singer stopped singing abruptly and looked at me. Her eyes felt as though they were peering directly into my soul.
Welcome, rabbits, to the belly of the hole! Our circus, you see, is no ordinary spectacle. It is a haven for the extraordinary, the unusual, the cursed.
Figures began to emerge from the shadows, grotesque and mesmerizing. A contortionist twisted her body into unnatural shapes, and a man tattooed head to toe carried a live goat to the center of the stage, placing it on a platform. I couldn't tear my gaze away, but beneath the surface, a deep sense of dread gnawed at me. A primal instinct begged me to flee, but I was paralyzed. As the cloaked figures gathered around the goat, their chanting grew louder.
And now for the main event, our beloved matriarch, the queen of the damned, the mistress of darkness.
The silhouette of a woman emerged from the darkness in a long, silky red cloak. The hood slipped back, revealing a beautiful and familiar face.
You shouldn't have followed me, Abby.
That was Down the Rabbit Hole by Team Mixologisms. It took home third prize in this year's radio challenge. Next up, you might think you know Toronto pretty well, but do you really know what lies beneath our streets? Sarah, Mika, and Delphine excavated the truth in their second place winning piece. Drumroll, please. Tunnel Vision.
In January of 2015, a tunnel was discovered in Toronto near York University's Keele campus. The tunnel appeared to have been dug by hand and contained a generator and a sump pump, as well as a rosary, a ladder, food containers, a Remembrance Day poppy, and a single light bulb. Toronto police enlisted the public's help identifying the creator and purpose, and eventually found the burrowers in question. It was just two men, guys in their 20s.
There's no criminal offense for digging a hole.
Mark Saunders, chief of police at the time. Eventually, the police determined that the men had no criminal intent and no charges were pressed.
The purpose was just for them to hang out. They wanted to dig it, and that it was just for, like I said, personal reasons.
...2015 wasn't the first time a mysterious tunnel had been found under the streets of Toronto. In 1978, land was being excavated for Roy Thomson Hall, a shiny new concert venue down at King Street West. The hall was to be built on an empty piece of land that had formerly been the site of a Canadian Pacific freight office. As the builders were digging, they hit something hard. It turned out to be a wall, and that wall turned out to be a tunnel that led to a room, about 10 feet below the surface of the earth. The tunnel wasn't marked on any blueprints of the former freight office, but even more curious was what was inside. A table, two chairs, two empty cups, and a locked safe. Everything in the room was brought up to the surface, where it promptly vanished. I really feel like something like that could never happen today, but clearly the people of the 70s had a more relaxed attitude about locked safes found in a mysterious underground room. Then, in a stunning move of out-of-sight, out-of-mind-style repression, they filled the tunnel and the room, built their concert hall, and never looked into it again.
Mysterious tunnels obviously aren't unique to Toronto, nor to the past 50 years. In 1917, while workers were excavating for luxury apartments in Washington, D.C.'s DuPont Circle, they stumbled upon a subterranean tunnel that ended up measuring over 100 feet long. It had a small place in the local newspaper and then was swiftly forgotten, understandably due to the distraction of the First World War. In 1924, a truck was driving through Washington when its wheels sunk into the ground, revealing the entrance to a hidden underground shaft connected, who could have guessed, directly to the tunnel found in 1917. The walls of these tunnels were formed of enameled white brick with some electric lighting, Curiously, there were also German newspapers from 1917 and 18 pasted to the ceiling. At some point, the authorities brought in an architect, just to check it out, I guess, and the architect deemed the proportions of the tunnel to be correct, whatever correct proportions of a secret tunnel are. Many theories were tossed around, including that the tunnel could be a hideout for Confederate soldiers, or maybe a stop on the Underground Railroad, a place for bootleggers to store alcohol, a secret laboratory for nefarious experiments, the lair of some kind of villain? The culprit, however, turned out to be a surprising figure. Harrison G. Dyer, an entomologist at the Smithsonian Institute, he told newspapers that he started when his wife asked him to dig a flower bed.
When I was down perhaps 6 or 7 feet, surrounded only by the damp brown walls of old Mother Earth, I was seized by an undeniable fancy to keep on going. Digging tunnels after work is my hobby. There's nothing really mysterious about it.
Maybe we're not so different from these tunnelers. Did you as a kid ever try to dig to China? I definitely did. In elementary school, I had one friend, and we didn't love big group games like tag, so we were always working on some weird little project, just the two of us. I remember creating the beginnings of a tunnel to China in the corner of the baseball field on some hot September afternoon.
I hope they dig to China!
What are you trying to do? Dig your way to China?
I just dug a hole to China!
The phrase digging to China is said around the world, in places like New Zealand and Germany. This reveals a fundamental contradiction. China is certainly not large enough that all of these places are opposite on the globe to it. I can't remember how literally I was taking it as a kid. Surely upon some reflection, I would have realized that you can't dig with your hands through the center of the earth to the other side. And vitally, the other side of Toronto, Ontario is not anywhere in China. The other side of the earth from where you're standing actually has a name, the Antipode. It turns out that the Antipode of the Met Radio Studios is actually in the Indian Ocean, approximately 1,860 kilometers from Perth, Australia. So, digging straight through the earth is maybe not a project to return to.
That was Tunnel Vision by Team Stop, Drop, and Roll. A very cool note about this piece, the team produced their own music for it. How sick is that? And what makes that so impressive, if you're tuning in, is that all of the pieces we're playing right now were created for this year's 24-hour radio challenge. That means they were made on a strict 24-hour time limit, all based on the same theme, down the rabbit hole. And now we've arrived at our grand prize winner. I'm going to make you wait as long as possible. The piece that took the top spot in this year's challenge is pretty super... maybe superstitious even. This is Down the Rabbit Hole by Aili Yamamoto.
Two days ago, on the morning of March 1st, I woke up to the same message I've been waking up to for years now. Three words sent by my sister. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. No, my sister wasn't frantically warning me of an infestation or sending delusional messages. She was just saying something that we've been saying to each other for years. On the first day of each month, we text each other, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. And it's possible that you do the same. For those who aren't familiar, the idea is that if you say rabbit, rabbit, rabbit on the first day of the month, you'll have a lucky, prosperous month. It's a simple good luck superstition. I've met many people who know of this tradition and many who don't, but all I know is that I say it every month without hesitation, like I've been programmed to do so. But I am not a superstitious person, nor are many of my friends and family who use the phrase. I've said it for as long as I can remember, but it got me thinking. Why do I say those three ridiculous words? Where did this habit come from, and what does it really mean? My name is Aili Yamamoto, and today we're headed down the rabbit, rabbit, rabbit hole to find out exactly why we say this phrase, and what it can mean to generations of people. First, I need to explore where this phrase even comes from. To get a better understanding of this, I sat down with an expert.
So the sort of, like, obvious origins of the phrase come with the idea that rabbits represent good luck or rebirth. Like the lucky rabbit's foot superstition.
The voice you're hearing is rookie historian Aili Yamamoto. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Hold up. Eiley, are you interviewing yourself disguised as a history expert, recorded on a different mic so it really sounds like you're talking to a different person? That's really lame, and you need friends. To that, I will say, no history expert will speak to me on short notice on the weekend, and I do have friends, but they're busy. So here's me, in conversation with my own researcher persona, who is an expert, after roughly 2 hours of internet research.
It's also actually very possible that its origins are from Lewis Carroll's 1865 Alice in Wonderland, where a white rabbit, you know, guides Alice through the forest and down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I thought there might be a connection there. I knew that was around the same time period.
Yeah, it's a really likely origin, especially considering that children were among the first recorded users of the phrase. I think the first ever record was from an English periodical, or like a magazine, in 1909, where a parent reported that their child was using it. Which makes sense, since it's sort of a silly, magical little superstition.
So, when then did it get popular, would you say?
The phrase started appearing in popular media around the 1920s or so. You know, it was popping up in more literature. And it eventually sort of entered the mainstream as this word-of-mouth folklore, meaning it was passed through family and regional traditions. And now, people like you and I still use it today. Though we often text it instead of saying it, which I'm sure the original users wouldn't have even imagined, but that's sort of the great thing about folklore, is that it evolves with us.
That is so interesting. I appreciate the quick history lesson, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So now we know the charming history of the saying, and that I really like talking to myself. But I'm not necessarily much closer to understanding what it means to me. I decided to look a little deeper, and who better to speak to than the person who taught me the phrase? The reason I say rabbit, 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 my mother.
So I say rabbits every month, which is something I learned from you, but where did you learn it from?
Your Aunt Mary. She came home from university one summer and said we all had to say it, and I've been doing it for the past 40 years.
This was a huge revelation for me. My Aunt Mary passed away years before I was born, when my mom was still in her 20s. I've heard all about her from my mom, and I've seen pictures. I know her not as an aunt, but as my mom's late big sister, and the namesake of my older sister, also named Mary. I've always wanted to meet her. So imagine my surprise when I found out that she's a lot closer to me than I realized. She is my aunt, who I've never met, yes, but she's also three words that I say at the start of every month. Not because I really believe that the month will go horrifically if I don't say them, but because of tradition. Because it feels right. Because I learned it from my mother, who learned it from her older sister, who probably learned it from someone she loved, too. And maybe I'm just sappy, but there's my answer. I say rabbits because of tradition, and I say it because of love. Meaning aside, there really is something lovely about superstitions like these that draw us together. It connects back from me in this recording studio in Toronto, to the aunt I never met but always wanted to, all the way back to a child's overactive imagination in 1909. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit is a simple, ridiculous piece of folklore. It is a tradition, a catchy phrase, a hop back into history. And of course, a little bit of magic. My name is Eiley Yamamoto, and even though I'm a few days late, I hope you enjoyed this trip down the rabbit, rabbit, rabbit hole. Thank you.
That was Down the Rabbit, Rabbit, Rabbit Hole. That's a tongue twister. The first place piece from this year's 24-hour radio challenge, produced by Eiley Yamamoto. Thanks for tuning in to check out the top three pieces from the 2024 Radio Challenge, and a huge congratulations to this year's winners. If you'd like to hear the other pieces produced for the challenge, which are also pretty excellent, you can find a full playlist on the Met Radio SoundCloud account and our website, metradio.ca. We'll also be playing them a few times throughout the week on air, so be sure to keep the dial tuned to Met Radio 1280 AM in Toronto. Thank you all so much.
A huge thank you to everyone who supported this year's 24-hour radio challenge and donated prizes. Long McQuaid, Hindenburg, Woman from Space Festival, and Good Tape Magazine.